If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Illini guy Mike Kegley, and I'm here with right now with Kedrick Prince, and I'm here with Matt Stevens. Matt's the Illini guy staff writer. Ked's the director of recruiting at Illini guys, and we will have Brad Sturdy on later on. But let's take a real dive into the first win of the 2022-2023 Illini basketball season as the Eastern Illinois Panthers came in and they went up against kind of a buzzsaw here in the first game. They went up against the Fighting Illini and lost 87-57. And I think it was one of the most uniform halves I've ever seen, as the Illini's margin was 15 points in the first half and 15 points in the second half. I like that type of precision in my basketball team. Matt, give us some ideas on what you saw early on, and then we'll kind of go around the horn to the rest of the guys.
Well, with all due respect to the head basketball coach, I don't really know what he's talking about when he says that none of us in the media room thought Coleman could shoot. It's just that none of us in the media room thought Coleman could shoot as well as Coleman could shoot, thought he could shoot. So Coleman proved us all wrong in the sense that Coleman shot it exactly like he thinks he can shoot it tonight. And, you know, I think that that's more to the liking of what you saw before he got to Illinois, you know, that kind of shooting. But that's the last you're going to hear me talk about how well somebody shot the basketball tonight, because I came away impressed with two players, and their offensive nights really are inconsequential to me. The first one is Ty Rogers. Yes, I am unbelievably in love with the guy that had 1 point tonight, and I don't care what anybody else thinks about it. Like, he had 8 rebounds, he had 5 assists, he was a plus 19, and he affects everybody else on the floor because he doesn't need the basketball, he does not need to score in order to have a great night. And I think that that'll play at every single time they take the floor. And the other one is Sincere Harris. I think that his motor doesn't stop. I think he can be a Trent Frazier level defender at some point during his Illini career, and the sky's the limit for that young man, because as long as he keeps playing hard and keeps playing with the effort that he keeps playing, guess what, he's going to get ticked from Brad Underwood, and I think you saw a lot of that tonight. So I was really impressed with a pair of freshmen that really had impressive debuts in their Illini debut.
Brad, you're just coming out of the locker room area, and so what were your thoughts as we watched the initial game of this new season?
Yeah, I think there's going to be growing pains. I mean, I think I came away impressed with, you know, I agree with Matt. I was impressed with guys, but I also saw a lot of flaws in things that they did, whether it's decision making or you know, I thought there was a little frustration. The one thing about Sincere Harris that I think sets him apart from virtually every other guy on the team is that he doesn't, like, he makes a mistake and then he sprints to make he may make another mistake, but he's going to sprint and bust his butt every time after he makes a mistake. I thought some of these guys, whether it was RJ, whether it was, Ty Rogers, who was very uncharacteristic for him, Sky Clark, Jaden Epps, I thought they got a little bit, like, when they'd make a mistake, they were a little deer in the headlights at times. And so I think you're going to see that from the freshmen. They're going to get better and better. I think Terrence Shannon, you see why know, I know there were some people questioning him in the exhibition. So that you can start to see why he's so good. I mean, they ran a play. The one thing that stood out to me, you have Hawkins with his ability to knock out shots. And so there was a dead ball. Illinois had the ball on the sideline. That one ball got tipped out. And they ran a little high butt screen. And it was Hawkins setting the screen for a pick and pop. And you couldn't leave Hawkins because he's already hit 5 threes, right? Yeah. Shannon just went downhill so explosively that I was like, okay, that's like almost like they used to run IO, but to the right side off that butt screen. But now, instead of having a guy like Kofi setting that screen, you have a guy who can space the floor, and it's virtually you're going to give up a wide open three or you're going to get him downhill and he's going to get fouled. So this is that you saw little glimpses of what this is going to be when it gets as they get more comfortable and they all work mesh together. So I was really impressed. I mean, I think there are a lot of good things to take from it. Nothing really shocked me. It was about what you know expect to see. I still think RJ Melendez is going to make shots. He's shooting. I mean, one of the assistants told me he was shooting like 52% from three in practice. So this is a guy who he's pressing a little bit. He'll be fine. So I thought they looked really good. I thought, you know, having the center position at 40 and 22, I think it was. That's pretty good. That might be better than Kofi. So there you go.
Yeah, that was kind of the shocking thing. Cedric, what did you see out there that jumped out at you?
It was one of the first times that I saw, I mean, Coach Underwood really talked about, you know, all of his preseason messages about what to expect from the team and what not to expect. And he was spot on with this team. I mean, they are athletic. They defend, they run, they press. They do a really good job with the press. And I think they did some token pressure tonight, but I think when they really want to turn on, I think they can do it. I think Coleman at the top of it had some length, him and Terrence Shannon. I think they're going to cause problems for people. It was fun to watch. I'm not going to freak out because RJ Melendez didn't make shots, and I know a lot of people are, and his body language got down, and you can tell. I mean, there's no way he can hide it. I mean, I know he's frustrated because when you're a shooter, you know, when things don't go that way, you got to keep shooting because he can shoot the ball. We saw him do it last year. I mean, I want to see them shoot the ball as a team a little bit better, I guess. I think Sky Clark is a little bit too unselfish. I think he should look to score a little bit. These are the games when we talked about an earlier podcast that I think, well, these guys need to get a feel for the game. And someone like Sky, who's going to get a lot of minutes, I like to see him be able to score and find ways to score in this offense. They are trying to learn. This is new for everybody, for us to look at, for us to cover. You know, we're used to seeing Io and Kofi and Trent out there and, you know, DeMonte, and it's a different look. The one criticism that I'm really concerned about is the free throw percentage. Dane Danger, I mean, he hit the rim and he made one tonight, but Dane Danger, and I agree with Matt, I love Ty Rogers, but 1 for 6 from the line concerns me. And then Dane Danger was 1 for 4. That's 2 for 10. That's not going to get it done because you can't play them at the end of games. And if they're in foul trouble, someone's hurt, you're going to have to play them. That's going to be the difference. And to me, them winning and winning, you know, maybe – you know, 15 games, you know, or, you know, versus 12 or 13. So they got to figure the free throws out. I mean, that's a concern. I mean, and it was a concern in the Quincy game for me.
Yeah, I was disappointed because if you took a look at, you know, Terrence Shannon Jr., you take out his 13 for 15 from the free throw line, and then the team has shot 5 for 18. So that was definitely a concern. You know, I'll go back to, and I'm gonna ask Brad this question, but Brad, Dane Danger, when he comes out there and gets a double-double and really provides you very valuable minutes at the five, what does that mean for this team when you have a center in there who can defend the other center, who can rebound, and on top of it can actually score some points?
Well, I mean, it's huge. I mean, and we didn't – I'll be honest with you, you didn't know. Dane Danger has never really played in a college basketball game. I mean, you know, he's just like – even though he's older, he's really like a freshman. I mean, he's had very little time actually on the court in game action. So what you get from him right now is fantastic. You can get him to be that five physical presence. And they Underwood said that they challenged him to rebounds and get 10 rebounds tonight. He did. So there's a kid who, we know he has skills. We know he can do some things. And now you get to see him put it on the floor. And I think the motor aspect is what's impressive to me for a guy with his size. He has a really good motor. That was a question mark. I'll be honest, that was a question mark when he was at Baylor. And now it's one of the strengths that he has. So I think it's really important to have that. Because although Illinois wants to play that five out and wants to have Colton at the five and things like that, you're going to have times when you need to have that physical presence inside to go in and battle and bang a little bit on the interior and maybe get some post touches that create some, more a different type of paint touch than what we in this team mostly.
Yeah, and I was just thinking, his control of the ball, part of it is because his hands – are just ginormous. You can really, they really come out on TV when almost like he's got a Nerf ball. But, I did not expect him to be quite as polished. Now, obviously, it's Eastern Illinois. They certainly wanted to avoid the Hamlin revenge tour, so we didn't have to worry about that. But it was a nice game played by him. Matt, you talked about Ty Rogers. Any other particular performances that jumped out at you as you watched this that either was what you expected or maybe something that surprised you?
I mean, I go back to Sincere Harris again. I didn't know how much tick he was going to get this year. I think the Luke Goody injury has obviously moved him forward in the rotation. And it's probably good that it's good that he's getting this early tick, because I think that he's going to be more prepared for later on in the year. And I'm just so impressed by that young man, because I didn't know what to expect out of him, because it seemed like he was the afterthought freshman in this class. And with a motor like that and an effort like that and just his ability to understand who he is and can impact the game on the defensive end so much, I think he can be a major weapon coming off that bench if they need to go deep into the rotation. Maybe on the bad side, I think Ked kind of mentioned it, but we're back to RJ Melendez body language again, because I'm sorry, he was the first guy to come off the floor because he missed a shot and decided to jog down the floor, and Brad Underwood jumped out of his seat and nearly almost hooked him before the whistle blew and wanted to pull him after before the whistle blew. And I mean, RJ was the whipping boy tonight. Like, Brad got on him hard tonight, because there were times he would just jog down the floor. There were times where he would have defensive mishaps. That can't happen. And he knew that, he's been through a year of this now. He knows why he comes out of games now. He doesn't have to look at the bench and go, why are you taking me out of the game? And the other one was Matthew Mayer. And I think that Fletch has a real big task on his hands. One, getting him in shape as quickly as they possibly can, because teams are going after him right now defensively, and it's becoming quite obvious that they are. And for somebody that told us during media day that he wants to be, in the running for Big Ten defensive player of the year, he's getting picked on right now on that end of the floor. And I think it's because he's not in shape and he's not completely, in sync with everybody else because of what he's had to deal with, from an injury and just a, getting in shape kind of standpoint, since he got here. But that's going to be a task for Fletch as quickly as possible, because they're going to need him, this year. And he's going to have to provide them on both ends of the floor with what they thought they were going to get out of that guy. And I think those were the two concerning things for me. But I saw a lot out of the newcomers, whether it was Ty Rogers, whether it was Jaden Epps, slowly but surely getting more and more comfortable with that point guard spot. And you could see it. I was really, really impressed with each of the freshmen that came in. And even Sky in the second half, because he sat most of the first half because he was in foul trouble. And I felt like he got in everybody else involved and got into the flow offensively in that second half. And also did a hell of a job defensively, because EIU really couldn't get anything downhill and get anything near the basket, because he guarded the ball probably better than a lot of other players in the first half did. So I was just really impressed with this freshman class that's come in, and they're probably all going to be needed here this season.
Ted, I was looking and I thought a couple things. I thought Matt Myers' help defense was not bad, but you know, he wasn't beating anybody to the spot. And I also thought Epps looked like he twisted his ankle and yet had the toughness to come back in and play through it. So I was encouraged by that. What did you see out on there?
I'd have to agree with that. I mean, you know, just 100%. I don't just know if he's healthy, because you can see that his minutes are limited. You know, I know RJ was the first guy to come out, and I think that was because of the body language of not getting back on defense, like Matt mentioned. But I just want to see him healthy. I mean, he was frustrated. And to me, but I see those things as positives. I see, you know, Matthew, you know, splitting the defense, getting to the rim, the spin dribble, the ball crawling up, and then he missed it. And I see Ty Rogers missing a few bunnies. And same thing with RJ Melendez. Those, to me, are positives. These are things that I think when they're clicking, they're going to be tough. I do think the style of play is fun. I mean, it's tough seeing Kofi sit in the building and sitting on the sideline when he should be playing somewhere. It's tough, and it's a new adjustment. But I really like what I saw. I know the game well enough to know that there's going to be days when they shoot it well. I thought early on, I think Terrence Shannon was pressing the issue because they were trying so hard. But that's a good thing. That's why you have these games. You know, looking at all the games today, I mean, if I had to say today what I saw from the conference, I'd probably say Michigan was number one. I still think Illinois is better than Indiana right now. I really do, especially if Coleman Hawkins, he's not going to shoot that way every night, but if he can give you, you know, three quarters of that every night, I think Illinois is going to contend with Michigan, you know, for the title. I just like their athleticism and, you know, the freshmen that, you know, we all talked about. That's a nice surprise, and it's a good class. I mean, I have to tell you that. I mean, they did a good job recruiting and fitting needs.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Brad, you've obviously been doing this for over 20 years, maybe 30 years, 40 years. I'm not certain. But so you've seen a lot of teams out there. As you watch this team and you kind of, you know, you think about the players that you've had to watch and the rosters coupled with the coaching, you know, what's your mindset now after the first game? And what would you be thinking as a coach on the staff right now?
Well, I think it's a continual growth process for them and chemistry, learning how to play together, learning when to go. I mean, even Terrence Shannon, figuring out you want to play fast, so you're going to have some mistakes when you try to play fast. But even Terrence Shannon, understanding when to attack the basket in transition. You know, if you go back, couple years ago, even in Iowa's like sophomore year, yep, into his year, early on in the season, he would attack in transition and get stuck. You know what I mean? And just didn't understand. I think you saw that. Terrence looks so much like him. Although I will say this, Terrence Shannon is more explosive when he gets in the air than Io, but and physically he's stronger than Io was at that stage. So, but you see similarities in that they just kind of have to figure out what they can and can't do in this transition scheme, and also what they can and can't do in the half court. I noticed that they just have to, you want to develop that and develop that chemistry. I think that figuring out when to shoot, when not to shoot is probably one of the hardest things for guys coming into college, or when to drive, when to attack, because it's a different level. You're trying to figure out what I can do, what I can't do. I think they saw that with Sky Clark. You saw that with Jay Depps tonight. Passing up some shots, that's going to come with experience, with time, with chemistry. And they need to stay healthy, because they do not have a ton of depth. I mean, they've got basically nine guys. You saw tonight with Luke Goody out, Connor Servin is the guy off the bench. Brandon Lee would be probably 11th, and then Paxton Ward is 12th. But I mean, Connor Servant's now in your top 10, and he's walking. He's a nice little player, but he'd be a good player at EIU. I mean, he'd be a good player there. But they need to stay healthy. So that there's like a, you know, that I guess that's the two biggest things, getting them meshed together, and then they got to stay healthy because they get hurt, oof, could be ugly.
Yeah. So the next game up is Friday night against the Kansas City Ruse. So that'll obviously be an exciting game for the Illini as they go up against this team. Kansas City struggled tonight in a loss against Lincoln.
Hey, Mike?
Yes.
Mike, is Marvin Menzies the coach at UMKC now? Is that right?
I believe so.
Yeah, he used to be at UNLV. So actually, Underwood and Menzies split their games at Illinois back when he was at UNLV. So I guess familiar face.
Yeah, Frank, yeah. And
the trilogy.
Yeah, well, you know, that is the trilogy. So this is like the end of the Lord of the Rings. So we'll give somebody a real reason to show up there. But it will be, you know, obviously the Ruse will be taking on LSU on Wednesday night and then the Illini on Friday night. So and it gives, you know, just to give a little bit of a plug here, you know, if you enjoy the Eye on the Illini, where you can listen to experts like Ked, Matt, and Brad, IlliniGuys.com is the website that fuels that. And these three gentlemen, not only do they, you know, will they be in Champaign for the game on Friday night at, what is it, an 8 o'clock tip, but they'll be back for an 11 o'clock football game against Purdue. So you're talking total coverage here on IlliniGuys.com. If you want to subscribe, all you need to do is go to IlliniGuys.com, hit the registration, go ahead and you know, go ahead and subscribe, put your credit card in. You won't be charged until the seventh day. But it's $99 a year, and you just have to make sure you go back into the message boards because that's where you can talk to all these guys and get their opinions, and it's a lot of fun. And of course, IlliniGuys.com is where, like I said, it fuels this podcast and it fuels the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular, which can be heard across the state of Illinois on 31 different stations. And we certainly would love to have more listeners and love to have more subscribers. It's been a heck of a run for us so far, and we want to keep it going. We want to keep you informed. Seems like a good partnership. So final thoughts here before they run into that game on Friday night. So final takeaways, and we'll just kind of go Matt, then Ked, and Brad will get the last word. But Matt, any final thoughts as we walk away here late on a Monday night from a very successful first game for the Illini?
With all due respect to my alma mater, this is what Illinois should do when they play Eastern Illinois. And we've all seen, even I think it was, you know, Io's junior year, where they're going to overtime with Nicholls State in the opener. And we've seen it before where Illinois just kind of sleepwalks through these, what I call like guarantee games. You know, some people call them prostitution games because you're giving Eastern a check to come in here and take a whooping. Well, make sure you give them the whooping. And they did that, you know, and you saw progress by people. I mean, what a night for Dane Danger to make his Illinois debut and feel good about himself coming off, you know, the role that he's trying to wrap his arms around. You know, what a night for Coleman Hawkins to think that, hey, my shot's not broken anymore. I don't know why Coleman would have thought that, but whatever. And I thought it was a professional basketball expedition by Terrence Shannon Jr. I mean, when you get 24 points and 13 of them come from the line, guess what? That's what NBA guys do that go and score, right? I mean, I love what I saw out of him, and the freshmen are just so much fun. These guys impact winning so much, and they're going to be really, really, they're going to be really, really critical down the stretch here this season. So, you know, when you play EIU in your opener, this is what it's supposed to look like. And quite frankly, when you play UMKC on a Friday night in game two, this is kind of what it's supposed to look like too. So there's stuff that they're going to learn, and there's stuff that they're going to figure out as we go along here. But it's nice to learn stuff on a 30-point win instead of grinding out a game against like Nicholls State like it was 2 years ago. And This is a lot more enjoyable for everybody involved, the players, the coaches, and the fans.
Ted, what are your final thoughts as you're heading back up to the Quad Cities and, seeing how many miles you can get put on vehicles?
Well, again, it was fun to me. I enjoyed it. I'm glad I was really kind of see how this is going to translate into Big Ten. I shouldn't say Big Ten play, the non-conference schedule. I'm going to do what I do best. I'm going to try to do some scouting and look at, watch UCLA and Texas and all and Baylor and watch those teams play to see what they do. One of the reasons I said I'm concerned about shooting is because I know they're going to play Syracuse and teams will eventually figure out how to take the athleticism away from Illinois and make them prove that, that they can shoot it. So I overall, it was what you expected. I think Matt's right, 100% right. It's, this is what you should do. You should come out here and blow teams out like this and try to work on things. Moving forward, I want to see them continue to get better and better and better because I like the style play, and I think it's very attractive to recruits because I will say this, out of all the Big Ten teams I've seen play, they push the ball harder than anybody I've seen so far.
Excellent. And Brad, I'm going to let you get the last word as the dean of Illini basketball coverage. And, of course, I want people to realize, IlliniGuys.com, nobody knows what's going on around this program like Brad and Ked do. So we're proud to have them leading the way. Brad, what thoughts do you have as we close out this podcast?
Yeah, I think this team's good. The potential is really high. This was a game, this game was about like I thought it would be. I think the thing is, not many teams have guys, multiple guys, you can go out and get you 20 points every night. And I think this team's going to, as we see this, right now you got Terrence Shannon and Coleman Hawkins, then Dave Danger was 17. And I would say that I think there have been times when R.J. Melendez has put up huge points. Guy Clark had 18 against Kansas in the scrimmage. I mean, they have a lot of guys who can score. We know Jaden Epps is a bucket. He led them in practice for a week. They have a lot of different guys who can score. I think the one thing to take away is they're going to be different nights when different guys, are the guys – put the points on the board. I mean, Coleman's not going to score 23 and hit 5 threes every night. But at the same time, there's going to be other guys who are going to shoot it much better. RJ's going to shoot it better. He's going to put up more points. This guy's going to have better games, et cetera, go down the line. And Matthew Meyer is going to step up and be more a bigger part. So it's going to go. It's going to take some time. This team has a chance to have 5 weapons on the floor at any time who can put 20-plus points, and that's the kind of team that can make a run when you get to the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, it's exciting, and I think it looks like this is going to be a very entertaining team to watch, and, if you're going to join IlliniGuys.com, this is the time to do it. You'll be able to get the end of a unbelievably exciting football season, and you can get the entire exciting basketball season, be a really good value for you. And of course, here at the Illini Guys, we will give you all the coverage that you want. And we're actually pretty excited about the women's basketball team as well. So we think under Shauna Green, we think that the that is going to be a program that turns around. So we will be back here on Eye on the Illini. We're going to give you a Purdue preview later in the week. And then, of course, Friday night, you'll get a podcast talking about the Kansas City game. And then Saturday, you'll get a podcast talking about the Purdue game. So there's a lot to stay tuned to. So, come back and check us out. Hit the subscribe button for the podcast. And also make sure you look at the coming on board for the actual website so you can get all the information, what's going on behind the scenes, all the things that maybe we can't talk about on a podcast or on a news story, because sometimes you hear things that people don't want to put their name to, and you can't make that a news story. So there's a lot to check out at IlliniGuys.com. We'd love to see you. And of course, as we end them, as we always say, go Illini.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. but don't sweat it. Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.